Hey, you want that to go?
Oh, yeah. Takeout. We're looking at some stories this week that we want you to stay on top of. And we begin on Capitol Hill. And I'm watching Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent, that the ball now is in the Senate's court. The health care bill, which was passed over the weekend with the so-called Stupak Amendment, named for that Michigan congressman, all about restricting federal funds for abortion. That amendment is turning out to be something of a test of the power of Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. What's going on, Todd?
Well, it is. You know, Reid has dual responsibilities. Of course, he's the Senate Majority Leader, like you said, and his responsibility is to craft this health care bill so that it passes, first of all, and so that it passes to the political advantage of his Democrats. That's his responsibility. The other part of his responsibility is to get reelected back in Nevada, because he's up in 2010, and Harry Reid is not very popular at home right now, so these might be competing things for him. John, pro-choice groups are absolutely furious over the Stupak Amendment. Pro-life groups are saying they will be furious if it doesn't stay in. This is a classic sort of political, immovable force and immovable object. Barack Obama tried really hard to take this vociferous fight over abortion off the table. Remember when he went to Notre Dame
Sure.
and sort of said, everybody just settle down, let's not get too heated, we can handle this like adults? That's not what's happening here. This is starting to heat up, and it's going to be tough for Reid when the Senate comes back.
Now, over in the House, you've got 40 votes or so that were the Blue Dog Democrats who voted against the bill on issues that are in the health care bill itself. But you've also got 40 progressive liberal Democrats who will vote against this bill with the Stupak Amendment. What's the math over in the Senate? Is it 10 to 10, 20 to 20, 5 to 5?
It was actually 64 Dems who voted for the Stupak Amendment over in the House. In the Senate, it's less clear, but there are more and more moderate pro-life Democrats coming out saying that they want the Stupak language in, and then, of course, the liberals saying it has to be out. And now the problem for Reid is, like we said, he has to craft a bill. And then you have to look at Reid's re-election prospects back home. He's an interesting case. His voter rating from the National Right to Life Committee, one of the leading pro-life organizations,
right,
is around 30%. It's fallen a bit. His rating from NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, on the pro-choice side, right around 30%. So what's Harry Reid going to do? He's done a great job of keeping himself relatively neutral on this, but he has to balance a Democrat's interests,
right,
the president's interests, and his own interests, and it is totally unclear how he's going to do it.
Cagey up till now, but he's got to get off the fence. Todd Zwillick, a Takeaway Washington correspondent, talking about Harry Reid, abortion, and the health care bill in the Senate.
Now to the business takeout. A little advice from Saturday Night Live to the banks on Wall Street.
Just a tip, if you're trying to convince people that you care about things other than money, may I suggest removing the words gold and sack from your name? Really?
Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times. A little bit of humor going on there. That's their take on an issue. But that's an issue that you guys covered in the paper. You're analyzing the tax returns of the Goldman Sachs Foundation to see what they're doing to give back to the community. And what did you find?
So in these very in-depth filings, they're about the size of a phone book.
Wow.
You can see not only who Goldman's giving money to, but also what they're trading in, how they're investing a lot of their foundation in hedge funds. But among the recipients of money, you see they gave $3.2 million last year to Johns Hopkins and $2.3 million last year to Duke. And I'm sitting here kind of scratching my head saying, gee, I don't know if giving to these kind of elite universities is going to help Goldman's reputation. And that's the central problem here. I don't know if you caught this, but Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of
right.
Goldman, recently told the Times of London that Goldman was, quote, doing God's work.
Yes.
Yes.
But is it possible that it is just charitably motivated and it's not all about PR?
Oh, the foundation?
Yeah, the giving of money.
Well, see, here's the problem, though. When he says we're doing God's work, he's talking about the work they do every day.
Right.
He says we help companies to grow by helping them to raise capital. And the problem is that most people out there don't think doing God's work entitles you to such high bonuses. You know, Goldman's probably going to pay out more than $10 billion in bonuses. So it's got people saying, why don't you give more to charity?
Now they've said they're going to possibly double the size of their charitable
yes.
giving from
yes.
$200 million to $400 million. But, the question is here, is there anything Goldman's going to do to be able to make themselves sound like the benefactors of the people?
Probably not. And the other issue is that doubling the size of this foundation, when you look at the tax returns, you don't see them giving a lot of money from the foundation to causes that average people out there care about. Again, you know, $3.2 million to Johns Hopkins doesn't resonate. When I look at the giving of other banks like Citigroup and Bank of America, what strikes me is that they're giving tons and tons of grants to places, to little groups across the whole
local
country
community
and Citigroup
efforts
across the world. And so they're very visible out there, you know, giving $10,000 right here, $10,000 there. And I think that that really lets people know that they care in some form, and that may be the direction Goldman needs to go in for the first time.
Okay, Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, the New York Times.
Thanks.
So our last takeout this hour comes from you. We asked yesterday if you were doing enough for the men and women who serve in the armed forces, or if America was.
No, we're not giving our veterans enough. It's not fair. It's not fair across the board. Something's got to be done, and to look at one individual thing and say, is this fair, is itself unfair.
That was Eric from Ann Arbor, and here's another listener who called in from Belmont, New York.
I try when I'm in an airport, you know, you tend to see a lot of troops there in uniform, and I try to thank them for their service and talk to them about what it's like and just connect with them and let them know that whatever I may think about the war, I do appreciate their service and shake their hand or give them a hug.
Thomas, a veteran of the Navy, emailed us, in a word, no. For example, all veterans discharged under honorable conditions are entitled to receive medical benefits. That's great, except that Congress, in all its famous wisdom, does not fund those medical benefits for all eligible veterans. Thanks for asking. Perhaps someday Congress will be shamed into keeping all of its promises.
And Brooke emails, the best we can do for our veterans is not to create any more. Bring them home. You can respond to anything you hear in the show. Just give us a call at 8778-MYTAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.